I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Good afternoon to you and yours. This is The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Choice, sitting alongside Matt, who's in for Chris, and, you know, the one and only Clint Scott, behind the glass, slides, pushing forward, as he does on the program. How is our Wii champion doing today?
I'm good. How are y'all?
It's a interesting day. And I say that only because of what my job entails up here. Like, as for anybody else, you guys are just rolling with the punches, and I salute you for that. But Cooper Baseball already moved to 2 o'clock today, so that changed our show from a one-hour program to a two-hour program. And then, oh, by the way, we have to do all the things to make that happen, plus put contingency plans. And so it's been a busy day getting stuff situated and moving forward. You've been off all day.
I have.
You are a very lucky individual.
I have.
How many Wii hours have you logged?
Huh?
How many hours on the Wii have you logged today?
Well, I have not logged any hours. I did go to bed before midnight, so last night's gaming didn't count. But the
That's fair.
How many hours did you log on the Wii last night?
On the PS5, I played a solid...
What is this PS5 you speak of? You're not a PS5 champion.
Actually, I am. I just don't really brag about that. I put in 4 hours last night.
Did you do good?
Did I dominate?
Did you
well,
do
yeah.
Well?
Of course. No, I did.
Good job.
I always play good.
No. Wow, that's confidence right there, folks.
Today's battle has been different. Today's battle has been with a 2-year-old with.
2-year-old
wins,
right?
Being feisty, yeah.
Did you win?
2-year-old wins that.
No, I did not win today. I am winless today.
You can only, you know, you can't beat a 2-year-old. You just have to hope to contain it.
Yeah.
And that's just like the rule there. So, I'm glad we could steal you away for an hour today from the 2-year-old. I hope the 2-year-old understands.
Yes.
As we roll through our day. Apparently, there's some breaking news going on, and I haven't had a chance to pull it up yet. So, I will let Matt be the one who's breaking the news.
So, Aaron Donald, 3. Forgot we had a professional orchestra back there. My bad. So Aaron Donald, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, retiring, leaving the Rams at age 32. Been selected to 10 Pro Bowls, named first team All-Pro 8 times. Done. His career is in the books. A lot of people would say he was the best defensive player for the last, I would say probably the last 3 years, 4 years. I mean, the most consistent. So helped lead the Rams to the Super Bowl that year.
So hard not to be in that conversation.
Tough loss for them, that's for sure. But I think even not as a Rams fan, just as a sports fan, I mean, when you see somebody retire like that, I mean, kind of hurts the game. But, somebody's always there to replace him and step up.
He's one of 3 players to win the Defensive Player of the Year award 3 times, along with Hall of Famers Lawrence Taylor and J.J. Watt. The award was first given out in 1971. So this is not it's not a new award, but it's been around a while. Now, it's not one of the ancient awards of the NFL, but being one of 3, and when one of the 3 is Lawrence Taylor, that's good company.
You're in great company.
Wow.
And what I like about Aaron Donald is that there was never any off-field issues.
No, not at all.
Very quiet in the off-field, but you did not want to line up across him as an offensive lineman. You knew your day was going to be miserable. Hey, go block that guy.
He and Barry Sanders are the only players in NFL history to play in at least 10 seasons and get selected to the Pro Bowl in each season, according to Elias Sports Bureau. Sanders also played exactly 10 seasons, retiring in 1998, as we all know from the Detroit Lions.
Oh, well, congrats to Aaron Donald and enjoy your retirement.
Absolutely.
Well deserved.
go forth and enjoy time with the family and enjoy spending all the money that you have earned in the NFL and being able to walk away.
Yeah.
Like, literally walk away.
Absolutely. So, think about that at 32. Done. Done.
See, this gets to the lottery question for us. Like, what would you do if? Because I am never going to be good enough in my profession to make the money he makes as a profession. But if you were to have generational wealth, because that's what this is, that he's got. Do you quit your job?
Yes.
Clint?
No, but I don't do it the same way, and I don't log the same hours.
See, this is where I'm at. This is okay, directly down the line.
But when you're saying generational wealth, and that's to be clear, let's be clear. So
I won't have to work another day. My kids don't have to work if they don't want to.
Okay, so it's a substantial amount of money. Then I don't think that – I think people that say yes, and I'm not going against what Clint says because everybody's different.
Sure.
I don't know Clint, you know, better than he knows himself.
Oh, okay. I was like, how do you not know Clint?
But what I'm saying is that it would be extremely hard to be committed. It's not the work that a lot of people don't enjoy, right? I enjoy being on the radio. I enjoy working my full-time job. I great staff. I really enjoy day-to-day work. But when you have that kind of money, it's the commitment of you still got to be there every day, right? Because the company's not going to say, we know he's generational wealthy now. If he comes in at 11 every day and leaves at 2, that's okay. It's the commitment, I think, that's hard when you have that much money. Like, that's my opinion. Now, if you won today's world $3 million, that's not enough to really retire or anything. Like, yeah, you got to keep working. Like,
sure.
That's not enough, but
I'd like to find that out, though.
You know,
you won $300 million that you got post-taxes, I just don't see anybody saying, yeah, I'll still be there every day, committed.
Here's my, I would not quit. There would be signs that I had won the lottery. Let's make this very, very clear. There would be lots and lots of signs. But I need something to do.
$300 million in the bank post-taxes, you would have plenty to do.
I would have plenty of options to do. But once I did all of them, I would still need, traveling to Paris every other weekend doesn't need to happen. Like, I have no desire to do that.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. I am going to dispel a rumor right now. Clint did not wear his leprechaun outfit today.
But he looks really good in that photo.
Bullfighter does a pretty good job with these. There's no doubt.
I thought it was Clint, but it was a school picture.
Clint not wearing a leprechaun outfit today. Today is not St. Patrick's Day. The only reason the St. Patrick's Day hat makes an appearance today is because it's the Friday before St. Patrick's Day, where Texas Tech will be playing a baseball game. If Texas Tech was not playing until Monday, let's say Monday was St. Patrick's Day, that is when the St. Patrick's Day hat would come out on actual St. Patrick's Day.
That picture looks like if Ireland had its own, separate Little Debbie's logo. I mean, it's got the hair, right?
It does have the Little Debbie hair. That's fantastic.
It's like, oh, I'll try my zebra cakes.
I would so try those zebra cakes in a heartbeat.
That looks like the mascot of the Not So Lucky Charms. It looks good. Bullfighter.
No one's after those Lucky Charms, kudos, dude. No one's after those ones.
Those are discounted with the yellow tag. Just grab them.
This thought, going back to our conversation about what you would do if you had won the lottery. We all have these thoughts in our head as they go. Rich got to stay rich somehow, from the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Let's be clear, you're never going to get rich working in radio. That's just not... I would still come to work here. I would buy lunch more often for the office. Be like, hey, I want pizza. And there'd be 15 pizzas that showed up on a Friday.
New truck.
Yes,
you would. Don't.
I don't know that I would get a new truck. Yes, I would get a new car. I would definitely have a new motorcycle. And when I need new motorcycle, I was the first owner of said motorcycle.
Yeah.
I would have a new vehicle. I don't know that I would get a new truck. Don't get me wrong. Love my truck. Having the new Stingray Mm-hmm. That Corvette. Oh, that's a beautiful car. That's... I might go that direction. I would have a new vehicle. In fact, I'd probably have a couple because I would have a garage where I could have a couple.
What is, and I'd like to get some thoughts on the the chat line from people. What is the dream car just for anybody on here? Like if the money wasn't the option, like what is your car or truck or whatever?
Street legal Batmobile from The Dark Knight.
Okay, fair enough. That was way off from mine, but I like it.
But it would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. It would be awesome. Hard to argue with any of the Batmobiles, really. Name a Batmobile that wouldn't be cool to have.
That's a good point. I would go from nippled Clooney Batman Batmobile to way, way back in the day Batmobile to current Batmobile.
Whatever Batmobile you want to put in front of me, cool.
Yeah.
End of conversation. If you want to go the cartooned version from Batman the Animated Series, that's a cool Batmobile. I don't know how you make that work in real life, but again, still cool.
I like the old school one from like the show.
The TV show? Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
Adam West, Batmobile.
100%.
Yeah.
There's Bond cars, Batmobiles, Trans Ams with the black Trans Am with the gold eagle on it for Smoking the Bandit, Ghostbusters, whatever version of these. Have an orange car and put a 01 on the side. We all know what it is.
Yeah.
We all know. It's there. We all get it. I would love a DeLorean, but there's a company that makes new quote unquote DeLoreans.
Yeah.
Like the parts are brand new. They took the castings, they took what those parts were and have modified them so it's modern technology in them. That would be the one I would want because it's got the disc brakes, it's got the fuel injection engine, it solves a lot of the problems that the DeLorean had. That would be cool to have, but I would also want to turn it into a time machine. And I couldn't drive it to work on days like today. But lots of cars rolling in on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Let's give that a quick shout out. A Porsche 911 Turbo Convertible. Nice. 2019 ZR Vette. Beautiful car.
Yeah, that's a fantastic car.
Range Rover SE or a 6060 Chevelle. Very nice on the 66.
Show up, Shelly.
Any Corvette, I don't know that I would turn down, to be honest. Dodge Ram, a TRX, and a NASCAR-like bus-size RV with their matching trailer.
Okay.
That could be cool.
I'll tell you what, you see a lot of those TRXs nowadays. Those really gained popularity. They are, when the Raptor first came out, those were like the, trucks. Mm-hmm. And now you see a lot of Raptors everywhere, and there's different variations of them now, but I think that's what the TRX is now, is like, oh man, that's the truck of trucks right there. So they're good looking trucks. Shelby Cobra, flat black, sign me up, Bullfighter. I like that. Yeah. Nice.
That's pretty. That's very, very pretty.
What is
we could spend all day just talking cars. And
yeah,
while it's fine, like no one is complaining. We do have a Texas Tech basketball
game. That was my question. With all this money talk, let's transition, sit in front row at this game. What has to happen tonight for you to advance on the winning side?
Everything you did last night.
Beautiful game.
Or I guess yesterday. Everything you did yesterday, because it wasn't last night. Everything you did yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I would say you need to do that again times two. I look at this game as a complete uphill battle for the Red Raider basketball team.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible to win. And I'm not saying that you go ahead and chalk up a loss to Houston, but Houston is an excellent basketball team. This is a number one ranking that is deserved. This is the Big 12 champion. This is a team that has already waxed the floor with you this year. Granted, it's on their home court. Neutral site is different. I completely understand, which is why I'm in the category of, so you're saying there's a chance. But you need Pop to have the shooting night like he did yesterday. You need your defense to absolutely do what you did to BYU times two, because Houston is that much better.
Houston is defensively so much better than you.
Yes.
And it's not close.
Even with a healthy Warren Washington.
Even with a healthy Warren Washington.
I would look at this game as an uphill battle.
Points per game are pretty close nationally when you look at their rankings. Let me share something with you.
Go right ahead.
Rebounds per game, Houston's 58th in the country. We are 215th.
That's a difference.
Blocks per game, again, they're 36th. We're 284. And then steals, they're 7th, and we're 222.
Yeah.
Okay. Their defense, so for Texas Tech to win this game, run and gun, lot of consistent shooting, as you mentioned, from like yesterday, got to have the three-pointers popping. And you just, you've got to have the team rebound, to me. The steals, you know, that comes with control of your offense.
Do you slow the game down today? Do you work the shot clock? Do you really force your possession, make it a possession-by-possession game instead of a run-and-gun to keep yourself, I don't want to say keep yourself in the game, but then every possession matters. There's no, it keeps you more focused.
I think if you, and
if you Grant get in a back McCaslin and forth is, game, I think they can run away with it.
IQ is up here compared to mine. Let's get this straight. Basketball, Grant McCaslin, oh, way up here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm below the floor right now.
Sure. In this conversation, I'm like in China.
Yeah, yeah. If you can get to me, get Texas Tech to run and gun, but you can stop their transitional points coming off their rebounds, their steals, you know, maybe them getting some block shots and getting easy transitions, I think that's the way to go. I don't know if I want to slow the game down. I think athletically, Houston is leaps and bounds better. I think they're so good defensively. They switch on everything. They fight through the screen so flawlessly. I think you have to find a way to get as many easy buckets as possible in this game.
Yeah, this is not a everybody can shoot 30 times and can make 7.
If you shoot game like BYU did yesterday, pull.
Yeah, pull. I'm gonna go hide under the desk. Like, that's not what this game is. This is not a volume shooter type game. This is a what you did yesterday, where you were making shot after shot after shot.
Quality over quantity.
Yes. Red Raider Two Guns, who is Marquise Terry, chimes in. If it's low scoring, you have no shot off the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I don't know, man. If you can get quality attempts, and maybe you're right. We'll find out soon enough. Let's make this very – we'll find out tonight at 5 o'clock with a pregame over on Double T 97.3. Tech baseball at 6 o'clock against Baylor. Game one of that series in Waco at 6 here on 100.7 The Score. And we have Cooper baseball versus Monterey today at 2 o'clock. Wasn't originally 1. Now it's 2 because, you know, that wet stuff came down. So we got to drive off the field. This is The Bottom Line. 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Choice. Matt in for Chris. Clint in for Clint, as you can tell. Sliding sides, pushing buttons for us, as he does on the program. Hey, Matt, have you been watching what's been going on with Dak Prescott?
I feel like every time I look at an article with Dak Prescott, there's either money he wants. Well, just money he wants. All the time. I do know what you're talking about.
Sure. So yeah, we're not hiding it in any way, and neither is Dak or anybody else. And earlier this week, we heard about Dak filing a countersuit against someone who is trying to sue him for $100 million from an alleged sexual, and I say alleged sexual assault, I don't know, I was not there. An alleged sexual assault that happened 5 years ago, right? I think I got that number right, 5 years ago. And that they would not press charges if, 7 years ago, in the back of an SUV, $100 million. Now, for the sake of this conversation, we are not discussing the event in lines of who is lying and who is not, because we don't know. Pure speculation at this point.
Okay.
If we want to talk about the two legal cases and how they shake up and what our feelings are on those, I am completely game. because if she was, then I have no problem with her going after $100 million. If she wasn't, I have no problem with Dak Prescott doing the countersuing for defamation. I don't know what happened in the back of an SUV. Neither one of them have said that they weren't there. Or that Dak hasn't said that he wasn't there at all.
It's a he said, she said.
This is a 100% he said, she said, that it happens too many times. I don't know that it's happened this time, but it has happened too many times for me to just say it didn't happen, if that makes sense.
You know about like on a professional sport athlete level?
Yes, on a professional sport athlete
I know, level. You would think they would, and I'm not saying he's guilty because I don't know either, but you would think they would learn like, hey, I need to control what situation I'm in or have witnesses all the time with me.
Listen, man, the what I'll say about this, everybody gets to make dumb mistakes. Some dumb mistakes are a speeding ticket. Some dumb mistakes are running a stop sign. Some dumb mistakes are having your phone turned off. Some dumb mistakes are putting yourself in a situation you shouldn't have been in.
That's what I mean.
And I am a lifelong expert at learning things the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really good at learning things the hard way. The caveat I'll make for this is I never make the same mistake twice. They may be close, but I don't make the same mistake twice.
Well, and I'll give you know, Dak credit in the sense of he's never really had a lot of off-field issues.
No, he has not.
This is kind of the first, if my memory serves me right. I don't think he's really had anything. He is not.
The biggest problem off the field he's had other than this, I believe, and I could be missing something. I don't think I am. Was the COVID-19 party?
Yeah.
That him and a bunch of the other Cowboys were at. But when this was like peak COVID-19.
But that
and there
was
like
more
50
of a frowned upon.
Right. That's not what this is. Right.
Legal.
The biggest problem he's had off the field was that.
This isn't a Deshaun Watson 30th
no.
time.
No.
You know what I mean?
100%.
And that's
completely on board.
That's
there.
What I'd say. And like two. Now again, if he's guilty, shame on him. If he's not, I hope everything gets resolved truthfully and through court and both parties are happy, all that, yada, yada. But he's never really had anything that has said, okay, he's done it again. We definitely, you know.
Right.
The public thinks he's guilty because this is his fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh time. This isn't the case.
Right. That's not what this is. The long and short of it, the Dallas Police Department is now investigating. Is it Dallas? Hang on. The Collin County is claiming... filed a lawsuit. Prescott filed a lawsuit in Collin County claiming he is being extorted for over $100 million by a woman, his attorney, and her attorney separately. The police in Prosper, Texas, where the quarterback lives now, are investigating Prescott's extortion claim, while there's another investigation that is looking into the claims of the sexual assault that happened, again, 7 years ago in the back of an SUV. It's an 11-page lawsuit, also describes defamation, slander, yada, 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 lots of legal terms that we all know and love in, as we're covering sports. Letter stated, despite tragic events, she is willing to forego pursuing criminal charges along with disclosing the information to the public in exchange for compensation for her and for her mental anguish that she has suffered, damages valued at the sum of $100 million.
Well,
I got the. I don't feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth when I say this. And if I am, feel free to call me out on the chat line. 100%. If this happened and she wants Dak Prescott to fry, I'm in. 100%. I'm in. If this happened to her and she wants to make sure Dak Prescott never sees the light of day outside of a prison cell again, I'm in. Because I've got no business in the history of the world for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you put them in the jail. Don't throw away the key because you only throw a key away so far. Melt the key. Turn it into something else.
Okay.
Like, I'm 100% a fan of that. There is no prison sentence long enough to make that okay if this happened. If you give me $100 million and I won't press charges, I got a problem with that.
Yeah, because
I got a big problem with that.
Yeah, you're putting a monetary value on something just to
now, if
quote unquote air
right.
quotes ease your pain.
Sure, and I so want to not find out what this is. And let's be honest, she's going to get a check. It might not, it won't be for $100 million. I think we all can figure that out. But there's going to be a check written to make this go away. And I don't know what that number is. I also don't like the precedent that it sets. Yeah. Because if you flip it and it didn't happen, he's just writing the check to make this go away so he can move on with his life. Mm-hmm. And he's got enough money where he can do that. As we know, $55 million salary cap hit this year for the Dallas Cowboys and getting a new contract extension for the Cowboys most likely this year, where he's going to be making $60 million a year. Because that's what Jerry Jones does.
Heard some rumors y'all might be bringing Zeke back.
Depending on the contract, I'm not. That's not terrible. I'm not like the. My issue with Zeke was always the same thing that I have with Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. Too big of a contract for not enough production.
Yeah.
But man, I would love to actually know what happened here, so that I knew which side of this I fell on.
Never will.
And I never will. And neither one of them. I'm not calling both of them a liar. Let me make this clear.
No, but it's going to have the same outcome.
It's going to have the same outcome
as the Deshaun Watson. It's going to be pay everybody. It goes under, you know, it goes closed. Doors, books closed. Everything's closed. You never hear about it. Dak's back on the field, similar to Deshaun. Those 23, 26 issues that Deshaun had, you don't hear nothing about it.
Sure.
It's gone. And that's, to me, what will happen with this.
I also wonder, with the way this particular case is setting up, where it's suit countersuit as opposed to Deshaun, where it was like, well, I didn't do that. I don't know what everybody's talking about, but there was no countersuit involved, whether the NFL has to do something or not. Because while they don't quite subscribe to my philosophy of lock them up, melt the key so they can't get out philosophy, they are very strict on this aspect that even the accusation, that if they determine that there is enough of a problem here that you're going to get a suspension, what does that mean for the Cowboys this year? And that also bothers me. But you know what really just is going to, like, popcorn kernel in my teeth annoy the crap out of me of this? Is that he put himself in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be smarter than that. And you don't always know. You don't. I have been very fortunate that every person that I have had this type of a relationship with, I have known for a while, and we had a relationship for a while. Like, none of these were quick, as the case may be. But, man.
Do better.
You've got to be smarter than this. Which leads back to my problem with Dak Prescott. You've got to be smarter than this. Your receiver isn't open when there's four guys around him. You have to be smarter than this.
Turnover machine.
At the wrong worst possible time. He's the definition of Murphy's Law for a quarterback.
Trey Lance, future.
We'll see. Coming up, it is your Kaylee's Dailies on the way. And more on 100.7 The Score and The Bottom Line.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff, in for choice, who was just off today. Like, you know, when you've got the mansion money that you can just take a day off whenever you feel like it. Like, this is not the normal where he's been filling in for somebody, I've been filling in for him, rotation that we've been doing for a while because of baseball and everything else going on. He's just not here today. He's using one of his 45 vacation days. Sitting alongside Matt Esterson, who is hanging out for Chris Snead today. I was expecting the thing. Clint Scott back here as well, doing the things that he does behind the glass.
Wow.
You had to wait for the Glenn Scott introduction there?
Very
was that what you were doing?
No, you said you were waiting for it.
Well, I was waiting and then it didn't happen, so I thought we weren't doing it. And okay.
Always keep them guessing, Jeff. Keep them on their toes.
Listen, if you listen to the morning drive this morning, you know there was a lot. You had to be on your toes this morning. That's all I'm saying.
Did Chuck sing Italian?
No. He's saying they're coming to take me away.
Oh, hee-hee.
And it got worse. But that being said, even though Chris Snead is not here, that does not mean that we do not do Kaylee's Dailies. Matt.
Jess.
Clint.
Brought to you by Chris Snead.
Kaylee's Daily is brought to you by, of course, Chris Snead. Tomorrow, March 16th, is National Panda Day. Pandas are a featured favorite of the Bottom Line since it's known for a particular dietary fact.
They go all the time.
Like constantly. But what do we know about these gentle giants? For starters, they are not true bears and share no relation with the famed red pandas, which is disappointing to Chuck Hines. Although they possess characteristics black and white fur, they are born pink and covered in fine fur. They grow into their adult patterns after about a year, and unlike bear species, giant pandas do not hibernate. This means that they must constantly eat to maintain their metabolism. To aid in this, pandas have been known to eat between 30 and 90 pounds of fiber-filled bamboo a day. It's a lot of fiber, leading to them going a lot. While the pandas that were loaned to the U.S. zoos were sent back to their homeland in China, this may come as a good thing to some zoos as they have to pay the hefty fee to house these bears. It has been documented that zoos have paid up to $1 million in fees to China to house pandas in America. Exactly.
Strike three.
In American zoos. There we go. Institutions. I'm just going to skip. I'm still not going to get it. And I know the word.
No. Start. Just go slower. Just don't roll into it. Go back. Start the sentence.
Zoo. Logical institutions. That might be the fastest I can say that right now. And that's not even right.
My favorite panda is Jack Black.
Coming out with the fourth one.
Coming out with the fourth. That was a good timing.
You know,
to come out with the...
Let's... can I steal something from a former crow worker?
Oh, sure.
I don't think he'd mind. I will give him credit. Because he posted this. And, you know, he's an entertainment guru for sure. One of our good friends over at Fox 34, News Channel 11 now, not Matt Ernst. That would not be who I'm talking about. But also a good friend of the program. Put out on Twitter the other day, what is your favorite fourth movie in a series? And this would be James Epler, entertainment director over there. Fantastic guy, maybe listening right now. And I started sitting here thinking about it.
Mine was instant. So
my number one, Endgame. Because it's the fourth Avenger movie. Like Avengers movie.
Yeah, if you take out all of the... If you take everything else out of Phase 4, then it would be...
That's the point, is that... It's the Avengers movies, there's the Captain America movies, there's the Iron Man movies, there's Black Widow, there's Hulk, there's everything else that goes with it.
Yeah, but Captain America was actually, the title was First Avenger or something like that.
Right,
so like,
but that's
really,
still,
that wouldn't be the...
Captain America, for, you know, it's Captain America and then Civil War.
I get what you're saying.
Endgame was the first thing that came to mind. Then I went Rocky.
Rocky 4 would probably be on the top of my list in terms of movie. I can't do the Avengers because I see them differently than you, which is fine. But Rocky IV instantly.
I would also say, because I am a sucker for blue whales, Star Trek IV.
I admit,
it's not the best Star Trek movie. I completely understand. Two is fantastic. Four is good. I liked one as well. Some people go with the odds. Some people go with the evens, whatever you want. I'm a sucker for a blue whale. And it's got some of my favorite lines that I use in almost every day. In some way, including the hello computer when Scotty is waiting to make the clear aluminum for the paneling. Mission Impossible 4, which I think was technically Rogue Operative, was the fourth one.
Okay.
There's not been a bad Mission Impossible movie, so that's kind of where I just went mission. And then Fast and the Furious 4 might have been the last of the really good ones.
Yeah.
And this off the 8th Story Center chat line. There'll be whales, Captain! Yes. Again, Star Trek 4. Fantastically fun movie. And anybody who can't appreciate Rocky 4, I don't even want to know you. That's where I'm at. Like, the whole, you know, if I can change and yous can change, maybe we all can change. I mean, yeah. Yes. Does it tug at the Patriot heartstrings? It sure does. Did it come out in the peak of the Cold War? 100%. If he dies, he dies. All of these things are from this movie. I completely am here for every single second of it. The training montage where he's running through with logs, 100%. Tell me I'm wrong. That's coming up later in the program. Did I miss any of them that you were thinking of for favorite fours?
Oh, you didn't say the Scorpion King 4, which came out in 2015 and does have Lou Ferrigno on it.
No,
it's a direct to believe direct to film movie. I've watched it once. I just remember that Lou Ferrigno was in it. That's all that I remember from it, and it was horrible.
Yeah,
watching it at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, well, that's probably when most people fell asleep to it as well.
So the Phantom Menace, that's number technically four.
That
right?
is four. That's how I would rank that one too. I don't have as much problem with Episode 1 as a lot of Star Wars fans do.
Now this is pod racing.
There are elements of it that you need to tell the story. There are also a lot of elements that just get in the way of telling that story, and I understand that. But it's also not a Star Wars movie made for an original Star Wars fan.
Yeah,
it's a much different audience that we're looking for different things. And I can appreciate some of the things that happened in The Phantom. I don't particularly hate Jar Jar Binks. He's not my favorite character. Let's make this clear. But, Trevor coming in off the top rope. Does Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire count being a book series? Goblet of Fire was fantastic, even as a movie. That's well done, Trevor.
All those.
Sharknado 4, love Sharknado 4. But I didn't want to tell Epler Sharknado 4 because then we get into the whole Sharknado conversation. He and I have had that before. Mm. It didn't end pretty.
I'm not gonna be with you guys for the next hour.
No, you are not.
So before we leave,
you are off keeping to better ventures. Being on vacation.
Keeping the theme of the four teams left in the Big 12 tournament. Who wins tonight? Both games.
Houston, Iowa State.
Clint. Who wins tonight?
Oh, who wins tonight?
Both games.
I think Houston wins, and I'll go chalk. I think it's Houston, Iowa State.
Both of y'all, same.
Like they've just been headed for this direction all season long. That I would be shocked if it didn't end up that way.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff in for Choice. Now Josh in for Jamie and Clint in for Clint, because, you know, he is doing what he is supposed to be doing today, and we shout out Clint Scott for doing said things. Josh.
Did you point out that Josh and Matt switched the shirt? It's the same exact shirt. They just switched over between segments.
I mean, we weren't going to say anything about it, but... Yeah.
We just wear the same size. It's incredible.
I actually, I was wearing a Magic shirt earlier, and I was like, Matt, I can't wear one of our other stations on air.
You could.
I could.
There's nothing wrong with
I just think it's weird. I
mean, technically, you're wearing not the Score shirt right now.
That's true.
You're wearing a double T-shirt.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with wearing a double T-shirt on 100.7 The Score. I am also wearing a double T97.3 shirt on 100.7 The Score. Mm-hmm. We're all one big, happy, dysfunctional family around here. Dysfunctional. But happy. So yeah, wear your Magic shirt. Wouldn't have bothered anybody here. I'm sure they would appreciate the promotion.
Signature Stag, your one-stop man shop for legendary game day gear.
See?
I actually just wanted to wear Matt's shirt. That's basically what happened.
Well, you know, we get that.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually wearing a black shirt, and this is what I do every baseball season.
You wear a black shirt?
There's a black shirt on Friday.
Oh.
Because that's what the Red Raider baseball team wears. Cool. It's black, red, white.
Cool.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Never have to worry about it. That is what Tim Tadlock has done for about 6 years? This goes back to when Kingsbury was here, so it's got to be more than that. Because during football season, everyone was always wanting the Red Raiders to wear red on Saturday for the game. So Tadlock basically just went, well, heck, we'll just wear red on every Saturday. And that was the end of the discussion. And from that point, it was black, red, white.
All right.
So there you go. Black shirts on Fridays for Red Raider baseball, which is...
Now, do you stay with that, though? Like, if we were to see you on Saturday or Sunday, you were making sure to wear red and white on their respective days?
Let's be clear. If you're seeing me on Saturday, you're probably seeing me in a hoodie sitting at my computer.
Okay.
The hoodie is black, though. The shirt underneath is probably just a white t-shirt, let's be honest. Like, if I don't have to leave the house, I'm probably not planning on it. Sunday rotates through a random set of t-shirts if we're going to the dog park or not going to the dog park kind of concept.
Sundays are my grocery days.
I do that on Thursday now. Anyway, this is distracting us from Red Raider basketball. Yes, it is. Get on the whole shirt conversation. How did we do this? How much of the Texas Tech game yesterday did you get to take in, Josh?
Because
you were working.
Yes, I was.
You actually had a job that actually entailed you not paying attention to that game.
That is mostly true, but I did it anyway. And I watched I started watching with 6 minutes left in the first half.
Oh, so you got there at the good time.
Yeah.
Like Tech was up and stayed up.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It was, I think I even came, I don't know if you were at the desk, but Matt was at least, and I came, I was like, this game is crazy.
Yes. Yesterday's game was absolutely crazy the way it was going, yeah. And it was awesome. And we loved every minute of it until the 15-0 run.
Yeah.
The wrong direction.
Yep.
At the end of it, when we had Cooper Baseball here on 100.7 The Score yesterday afternoon, we were listening, and this was right after that's over. And I'm sitting, I was in here talking with Clint as he was doing things that he needed to do, and we were waiting for the, we were listening to the end of the basketball game. I was like, Tech is up 12. Why am I nervous? There's 4 minutes left. Why am I nervous? Why am I having this feeling of doubt when you were up by 12 with four to play?
Mm-hmm.
And I know why. It's because of the 15-0 run. But that game was in hand. And then it got turned around. You get the Joe Toussaint three that absolutely got you going back in the right direction.
Well, and at that point, it was only a 7-point lead by the end of the 15-0 run. So, I mean, that game was very much spiraling towards a classic Big 12 game, a lot like what you did to BYU, if you're being honest, in the regular season,
yeah.
Because they were up big and you came back in the second half. So it's not like that sort of comeback would have been unheard of. And of all the people to, and look, Joe Toussaint, we know he's got a set on him. He's got some stones.
He does.
And he has that.
And big, they do clank when he walks.
And
yes.
He has that big play mentality, but he's not your go-to scorer, so still the fact that it was him who breaks the ice and finds instant momentum by hitting, to me, the biggest shot of the game, and then Darian Williams following that up after a stop, and then bang, back-to-back threes, and now you can, you know, take a breath again.
Exactly. But it took to that
point. I don't
think
that anxiety was unwarranted.
No, it wasn't, but it was still, you're up 12 with four to play. No other conference would be that way in the semifinal round, I think that's fair to say. With the Red Raiders playing today against Houston. Josh, in your expert basketball opinion, let you determine what level of an expert you are.
Okay.
What has to happen today to beat the number one team in the conference and quite possibly number one team in the country?
A lot has to go right and a lot has to go wrong for Houston.
So you're calling for double whammy.
Yeah.
Our good one and their bad
one. I really think it takes that because Tech is already... I don't want to say down personnel because this is kind of who you've been playing with for a while at least. You know, you've been playing without Warren Washington. You've been playing without full strength for a while.
Yes.
So it really would take Tech playing lights out, start to finish. I don't think you can have a letting off the gas in the last 6 minutes of the game. I don't think you can start. I don't think you can start slow. And Houston also just has to be off. That's not to say that Tech has like an unimaginable margin to like overcome. I don't think it's impossible for Tech to win, but I can't say that I expect like and I'll use that word like, I'm not saying there's not hope. I'm not saying there's not a chance. But as far as an expectation goes,
yeah,
I don't expect Tech to win today.
It is absolutely possible. I am very much in the dumb and dumber, so you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at in this possibility. That, look, I watched what Houston did to you when you were on their home floor.
Yeah.
And you were at full strength with a healthy Warren Washington.
I don't expect them to go in and lose by 30.
No, not at all.
But I think, I don't think it would be unheard of, or even, I don't think many people would be hurting if Tech lost by, like, you know, 11, 15 points.
That's kind of where my ballpark is, where, yeah, I think is where this actually lines up later. And that's not to say that you can't win. That doesn't mean that we're not pulling for the Red Raiders.
Yeah, team. Absolutely.
But it's looking at what you're, the facts in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Houston's a really, really good basketball team. They defensively speaking, they remind me a lot of what the Red Raiders were in their national championship game run. That kind of just every single possession, you need a little bit of luck to go your way against it in order to win. And that's the kind of game I think Tech needs to have. Can Tech have that kind of game? I think they can.
Yeah.
100%, I think they can. And do I think Grant McCaslin can coach this team well enough to outcoach Houston? 100%, I think he can. It's just, can you get the ball to go in the hoop?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a speed the game up where you're doing run and gun. I don't know if this is a slow the game down and try to get this to where 50 wins it.
I don't know.
That you are conceding... Like, and not 50, like 5-0, but like 56 wins this. Like 56-50.
Sure.
Just really take the air out of the ball and really make your possessions count that way. I don't know if you... I'm not saying it would be fun to watch. You know what would be fun to watch? A Red Raider win. I don't care how it happens.
Sure.
I think that's what Houston wants you to do.
Really?
Yeah. I think a low-scoring game, I do not like that.
I don't know that Tech can Houston, do that to
because Houston has won so many low-scoring games. And we think of them as an all-around talented team, and they are, don't get me wrong, but the strength of that Houston team is their defense.
Oh, 100%.
And
yeah.
So if you are limiting the amount of shots that you take, I mean, they're not going to give you anything. That is not putting that's not putting a very good percentage in your corner.
The reason I think it might work, and listen, there's 100 million people that are better at analyzing basketball, sure, than I am. Let's make this clear. The concept of giving yourself an opportunity to letting them make a mistake, making the extra pass, which you have been good at all season long, running your set offense, that if you get to the point where you're just putting up a shot quickly, this game can get out of hand very quickly.
I think you have to run good offense. But that doesn't mean, hey, guys, we can't shoot this until 25 seconds of the shot clock has been run off.
Like, well, no, you still have to take your best shot when you take your
well,
when
you've
you
got you've
it. Got
to run good half court offense. But I think you have to take advantage in transition too. Like, you have to find baskets there when they can't set up their half court defense, and that would go against the trend of, hey, we need to make sure we're slowing everything down, and we are grinding out on offense. I don't think that is. Again, I think that's feeding right into what Houston would love for you to do today.
Mm. Well, we'll find that out tonight, 5 o'clock pregame over on Double T 97.3 with a tip-off just after 6. This is The Bottom Line, Jamie's question of the day. Sans Jamie, on the way next.
This has been The Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.